Hi, I'm John Evans from One West. Today I'm talking to Steve De Bruin about business continuity for non-critical services. Hi, Steve.
Hi, John.
So, Steve, let's get some of the terminology out of the way. What do we mean by business continuity, and what do we mean by non-critical services?
So, criticality in business continuity can be measured in many ways. I tend to go for critical would mean that the service itself has to be up and running within 24 hours for whatever reason, and it may or may not affect life or death. So if you take those two things into account, you actually start looking at what is critical within your organisation. It's a good starting point.
Okay, and you mentioned about the amount of time it takes to get up and running. Feels a bit like emergency management. Is that different?
They do dovetail, but they are different. Many years ago, emergency management used to have business continuity as part of their role. But when there is an emergency, you'll see the response to the emergency acts like a terribly strong magnet in terms of workforce, and everybody's time gets totally focused on responding to the incident, when in fact somebody should be stood a little bit further back, looking at getting the organisation back to business as usual. What do we need to put in place so that we can respond effectively to this rather than dealing just wholly with the emergency response?
I've got you. So by being non-essential, does that mean I don't have to worry about it?
No, I think you still need to have business continuity within your plan. I do think that business continuity is something that everybody should be looking at. Lots of organisations don't plan for a loss of IT over a lot of time. A lot of organisations don't plan for what if your workforce can't get in because of a motorway closed. But of course, you might lose money on the back of it. And you need to be able to have something in place where you could respond effectively and still continue to work.
Okay. And does everything get written down then into a plan? Is somebody responsible?
We're making decisions around business continuity all day long subconsciously. Something, if you were living in a purist world, something should be written down. There should be a plan in place so somebody can refer to something if they were unable to respond effectively. But that said, my thoughts around business continuity are being able to respond when it happens without running around looking for a plan, and just really have a subconscious competence so that you can just respond. This comes through careful exercising.
Okay, and with the plan itself, and if it is written down, suppose it's important that people can actually get to it?
Yeah, everybody should have access to a plan, a document. Everybody should be aware of it, and everybody should be able to respond as is said within the plan, yes, of course.
So then let's say that something has happened. How do you know whether to roll out your business continuity plan? What are the considerations?
Okay, you need to consider if the incident has caused any damage to your critical functions, your critical services, if there's loss or denial of each or any of those. Is there going to be a disruption or interruption to the delivery of the service? And how long do you anticipate the disruption or interruption will last?
So are there roles and responsibilities allocated so people know what they have to do?
Yes, there is. Normally, I would suggest that within an organisation, you look at the top table to deal with the strategic response, and such as your chief exec, your executive team, they would be dealing with the strategic response if it was required. Then you will have the tactical response in the middle, which are the people who say, yes, we can do this. And they would be the middle part of the organisation, if you have that, in terms of management. And then you have the people who will respond operationally. So it's a little bit military, if you were to look at it like that. You have a strategic response, a tactical response, and an operational response. And ultimately, the operational response may just be, right, we need to go and get some paper for people to write on instead of computers.
I suppose some things are more important than others in our business as well, aren't they? How on earth do you work that out?
You have to look at all aspects of your business, see which ones are most critical. That's called your business impact analysis. What parts of your business will be affected by a certain disruption, and how long will that be for, could give you some more information around what is more critical and what needs to be dealt with in a shorter time frame.
Does it go beyond the organisation itself? I'm thinking utilities, gas, electric, things like that?
We're becoming more and more reliant on contracts externally, and this may be through utility provision or somebody just buying your computers for you. We have to look at supplier failure. This is one of the key elements of business continuity planning, is making sure that the supplier of whatever part of the critical function it is that you're delivering can continue to do that in line with your business continuity plan. They can respond in line with your plan.
A big one now must be IT because of cybersecurity. Is that coming to the fore?
It is. The purist will say this is called disaster recovery. So somebody would need to look at how quickly an IT service could be brought back up and running to support a critical service. That was really, that came from many, many years ago. These days, I think it is just part of the business IT these days, and I incorporate it as part of business continuity rather than disaster recovery. But it is something that needs to be looked at, whether it's being provided externally or internally by a team.
I've heard of a phrase called maximum tolerable period of disruption. What does that mean to my service if it's non-critical then?
Well, what maximum tolerable period disruption actually means is how long can you put up with the disruption before you get back to business as usual. So you need to factor in that as part of your time frame for recovery. It's a target time. So a disruption comes along, affects you. How long can you put up with that disruption before you return to business as usual?
I suppose different things impact in different ways, don't they? Talk us through that a little bit.
Let's have a look at statutory compliance, for instance. So health and safety legislation, you need to have a think about that. But also there's impacts on staff, potentially, depending on the disruption. This could be financial, physical, or psychological, depending on the incident itself.
I guess then also, it's not just about maintaining services, but recovering them. And can you talk us through that bit?
Yeah, so we've talked about the MTPD, which is the maximum tolerable period of disruption. There is a recovery time objective. So to recover from a disruption, you do need to have something in place, potentially, before you get to the maximum tolerable period of disruption, which would be providing an acceptable level of service until you have fully recovered.
So just understanding everything you're saying, Steve, at the end of everything, and having considered how important things are, you then have to work out what you would actually do if one of the risks you've identified land. How do you go about that exactly?
This is all part of the business continuity management planning. So where you actually go through your plan and your impact analysis, you'll know what will affect each particular service, be it critical or not. You'll know what will affect it and at what point, or you should do if you're an organisation or a business that takes these things seriously. You can write into the plan, for instance, that without fuel we could manage for such an amount of time. However, we know that our clients need to be seen within a certain amount of time, and all of these small factors all come together to a place within the business continuity plan in your response factors.
It must be important to be able to contact people, I guess. Like, do you have a contact list or something?
There should always be a contact list in an emergency response or business continuity response. If you are writing to, for instance, which is the emergency management and a business continuity plan, you only really need one emergency contact list, but there should be an emergency contact list that you can refer to, and that should really drill down to each individual that are needed for a particular response. Or it could just be one generic emergency contact list. But yes, within the plan, there should be a reference to or a list of emergency contacts.
So Steve, we've said a lot here. I guess one of the big questions is, as a non-critical service, do I have to have it?
That depends on whether or not you want to be effective in responding to incidents if they occur. There's no statutory obligation for you to have a business continuity plan. However, there is plenty of cases out there that would say that you should seriously consider your responses to a major incident, as many organisations fold on the back of not planning correctly for incidents.
So it makes really, really good sense. Is there a template I can use, something like that?
Google itself is absolutely chock-a-block with free templates that you can use, download at your will. We do at One West have templates as well that we can help you fill in. What I see with many organisations is that they do download these templates but don't actually get around to completing them. But there are templates, many, many templates that you can use. The only thing I would suggest is make it simple, make it workable. There are some templates online that could take you 94 pages to complete, but I would suggest that you don't need anything more than a dozen to 14 pages within a non-critical service plan.
So it's quite straightforward from that point of view. What should I do with it when I've got it?
It's a good thing to put it inside your electronic means. So you could put it into a shared folder so people can have access to it. It's also good to have alongside your health and safety response plan if you have one, or inside an emergency grab bag. It's good practice, but I do refer back to what we talked about earlier, John, which was you should have an unconscious competence. If you exercise properly and you've built the plan properly, you shouldn't be running around saying to a fireman, my business continuity plan is in the corner in a folder, can you get it for me? You should be able to just respond.
How important is it to tell people about it?
I think it's very important. Your insurance premiums could be affected in a positive way. Everybody wants to know that the organisation that they're working with is responding effectively to many, many things. Disruption is one of them. It just gives people a bit more confidence in that company.
And I guess my final question for you, Steve, is what about review?
So I think that a review should be done every year unless something massively or something has changed dramatically within the organisation where it should be reviewed sooner than that. The reviews can be desktop review. You could sit opposite each other and just go through it and make sure it fit for purpose. But that desktop review, in my opinion, is or should include some form of exercise, a run-through exercise through a disruption, something that's maybe a hot topic at the moment or something that you may expect in the future, such as a loss of IT over a significant time.
Steve, if somebody wants to talk to us more about this, is that okay?
Absolutely no problem whatsoever. If anybody wants to talk about business continuity, I would just ask them to contact us through our website, John.
That's great. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
That was really informative. Hope you all found it useful. It's one of a number of our podcasts. They're all on our website, www.onewest.co.uk. Thank you for listening.